This is Vowel Sounds. And I'm pleased to think that this song is still in the Ouija-verse. So we talked earlier about Glenn Case putting arbitrary constraints on himself where he was going to do all of the challenges cumulatively, which is damned impressive. And I also think that it's damned impressive Vowel Sounds as sort of building this narrative story arc as taking place in the Ouija-verse. And this song, I believe, is about the protagonist hooking up with the guy who is married to the wife who is a little bit dull. And so I call him Ouija Boy.
Okay.
So I think this is about her hooking up with Ouija Boy, and it's, you know, it's well written. I feel like it's got a great description of a hangover, and that line is a black hole between this morning and the bar last night, which I thought was a great line. It really fits the whole no memory thing. Like, once again, Vowel Sounds is pretty great at taking the title and finding a way to spin it into a narrative that works in their Ouija-verse. And I'm always impressed when they work hard to do that.
Yeah.
A complaint I had about this song is it's just slow. I don't have a lot of patience for slow songs, so it's hard for me, and I just gotta, okay, just, you know, not every song needs to be at 160 beats per minute, dude. Just chill out. Don't freak out. It's slow, but listen. So I got past that. I think that the chiptunes may be slightly overdone here, just possibly slightly overdone. I mean, there's a Commodore 64, there's a Game Boy, there's samples from Doom the video game, Pong the video game, and a failing disk drive, which you hear bookending the song at the start of the song and at the end of the song.
Yeah, and they also put it in somewhere in the middle.
Oh, did they? Oh, God.
Yeah, at one point in the middle, and I'm thinking, that probably wasn't necessary right there. But I'm you know.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is a net loss, at least the failing disk sound. Maybe not. There's a fine line between quirky and annoying, and for me, it lands on the quirky side, but it might not for everyone.
Yeah. This song is where, and we've done this before, but this is where we prove that you and I are not a voting block, you know, this voting block that's influencing in one way or another how Narayan is going, because this is by far my favorite song of the round.
Oh, wow.
Like in this list of great, great songs, this is the obvious, amazing standout to me, you know, and yeah, it's clearly a continuation of the Ouija verse. And I think it's the most touching and troubling and poignant and, you know, the most powerful installment of it. First of all, I think the music is wonderful. The vocal performance is right on. And these lyrics are stunning and amazing. You know, there's that part that goes, a sound of thunder, a butterfly crushed between your hips and mine. And now the world is rearranged. That's perfect.
It's good.
Perfect. It's like they reached into my brain and kind of teased out the most perfect analogy to manipulate my perception of this experience that the narrator is having. And you know the reference, right? The sound of thunder?
I don't know the reference.
Oh, okay. A Sound of Thunder was a story by Ray Bradbury that was made into a terrible movie a little while ago. But, you know, when I was growing up, I used to read the R is for Rocket, S is for Space, those groups of short stories by Ray Bradbury. And this was one of them. And it's the one where they have time travel. And I'm going to overexplain this, but part of the whole thing is that you get to kill a Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's the whole thing. So it's tourism. But you have to follow this one route, and you can't step off the route. And you have to shoot this Tyrannosaurus Rex. And right after you do, like a tree falls on it, or it's struck by lightning or something. So it would have died anyway.
Right.
And then they have these kind of like floating things where you get to walk back and then go back forward in time, and you don't interfere with anything.
Right. Like you don't kill a butterfly.
Exactly. And that's the kick of the story, that somebody is just too terrified by this T-Rex coming out at them that they, you know, jump off and end up accidentally, you know, stepping on a butterfly. And spoilers, sorry. But anyhow, so yeah, and then it was made into a terrible movie a while ago. Don't see the movie, but definitely read the story. And it, you know, changes the whole timeline in a way that's probably a lot less than it actually would, but significant enough to, you know. And anyhow, it's a great, great story. And so it's about that kind of whole butterfly effect, time travel sort of a thing. And this is such a great use of that, because it just tells you the title. And then it brings up the butterfly imagery, and that it's crushed between your hips and mine is so sexual.
Yeah, I thought it was just a sort of – I thought it was a euphemism.
Yeah, no, this is much, much more than that. And it's so artfully and genius. It's a genius line.
Wow.
And I just – so it's like I heard that and I was like, ah, you know, it struck me. You could have slapped me and I would have felt less. It was so, so great.
Yeah.
And then
you know how you like things that really paint or set a scene? This was very detailed. Like, you know, putting on her dress, finding her underwear. There was a lot of details in the song, which, you know, in the holes in his jockey shorts, and it really painted a picture nicely.
Yeah, and exactly.
The photo of the girl on the wall, like I call her dull girl.
Yeah. And the tangled hair, the sticky skin, the like every little bit of it. I loved how, you know, all of the dramatic stuff was internal. You know, there's no dialogue in this at all. And to the outside observer, it would be somebody waking up and maybe looking around alarmed and then going to accept some coffee and maybe some eggs with this guy who they don't say anything. I mean, it's such a thing, but then she brings you into that narrator so very, very well and so convincingly and says so many great things about, you know, I don't know. I love this song. It's in a round full of songs that I was happy to listen to over and over and over again. I still kept skipping ahead to this song, and it's, you know, it's just too damn good.
You know? I'm going to have to listen more.
Yeah. If I'm going to have to say anything even mildly critical, I'd suggest that maybe that failing disk drive sounds, you know, with the ambient room noise that you could hear along with it, that was probably not necessary. But that is a very minor criticism, and this song is still number one on my list, definitely. Oh, and the MP3 art, thanks for that. All right, so should we move on to the shadows?
Yeah, let's do it.